Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There is the, I'm looking for happy birthday or thank you. We see this stuff on social media where it's this very glowing, loving comment about a player on the day that he's told to pack his stuff and leave. Justin Simmons, 3-time Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee, 2-time Pro Bowler, 4-time AP All-Pro, a captain on and off the field. They are going to release Justin Simmons. And before I get to that, I was a little distracted at the beginning because I've received a complaint from a viewer. Miles, I have to share this. There is a viewer who has alerted me to the fact that every Siri device in his bedroom was trying to find pinball machine repair in West Virginia. Sorry to anyone out there whose Siri device activated when I did that. But you will learn, as I did, there are no pinball machine repair outfits in West Virginia. All right, back to. I need to just do that. I just need to do that from time to time just for fun now. And it reminds me of a moment in the Pete Holmes special that I think is on Netflix. And I can't say what he said, but he starts saying something over and over again that is just like bizarre and borderline inappropriate. And he just says it over and over. And he finally stops and he says, "Enjoy your Instagram feeds." So anyway, here we go. Justin Simmons, released by the Broncos after 8 seasons. Hasn't been released yet. Has he been released yet, or he will be released? I think it's one of those will be first day of the league year to spread the cap charge over 2 years. Is that accurate? It might not be. That speaks to the level of preparation. I was too busy looking for pinball repair places in West Virginia. But regardless, he ain't going to be a Bronco anymore. They save $14.5 million against the cap. He had 1 year left on his contract. And sometimes when you have 1 year left on your contract, you still do the post June 1 because there's voidable years. So there's still, it gets weird. Regardless, they're moving on from Justin Simmons. This one more of a surprise than Russell Wilson. But the Broncos, we were looking at the numbers yesterday after the Bills had their massive exodus of players to get down close to the cap. Exactly. I was going to let you say it, not me, because then you would have thought I was stealing it from you because I saw it on X from you.
Well, but that's what Broncos, the money is for.
Also, the Broncos also are in a cap mess, in large part because of all the cap dollars they got to eat for Russell Wilson, $85 million over 2 years. So I wonder if they hadn't done the Russell Wilson contract at all, are they able to keep Justin Simmons? That's the real question.
Well, I mean, you know, as my grandpa loves to say, if doesn't really mean anything, right? I mean, that's before they brought in Sean Payton. It's before they figured out that they would do all the things that they were going to do this year anyway. So I don't know about all that. But with Justin Simmons, I mean, the reports out of Denver that I saw yesterday were basically that Sean Payton felt like the Justin Simmons contract was a luxury that the team just could not afford right now. And basically, yeah, that's because of the whole deal with Russell Wilson, and you get rid of him. And yeah, you're trying to spread that cap charge over 2 years or whatever it is. But like, that's still an enormous amount of money that is dedicated to a player that is no longer going to be there. So yeah, you have to retool the roster. You've got to reshape the roster, and it makes it so that really this year, the Broncos might be worse than they were last year, right? Just based on what their roster is going to have to go through in terms of turnover, because they don't want that particular quarterback there anymore. So yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think whenever you see something like, oh, you'll always be a Bronco to us, Justin Simmons, no relation. First of all, he's not a Bronco anymore, so he will not always be a Bronco, but I guess it's more he'll always be a Bronco to the social media team, and he must have been really good to them. And you don't hear bad things about Justin Simmons, but still, like, that's one of those things where you're like, man, that's kind of lame to say on the day that the guy's getting fired. You'll always be a Bronco. Like, no, you won't, man. Come on.
Well, and the Broncos reposted his farewell address, which thanks a lot of people. It does not thank Sean Payton. You always look for those little subtleties like that. So, and you know, you worked for a couple of different teams. Like, how much of a firewall is there, if any, between social media and the rest of the team? Because some people act like it's this completely independently functioning body that has no influence exerted upon it by the team. And I don't know, maybe that's right. Maybe like the owners all octogenarians or not much younger don't even know what's going on social media, so they can say whatever they want and there's never going to be any blowback. But I just assume anything that is said on social media, the team, someone in management is aware of it and is in a position to approve it in advance or disapprove it after it's posted.
For something like this, in my experience, yes, there would be management involved because it's such a high profile player. You know, it's not necessarily that everything is going to go get approved, but like your PR team would be involved in something of this magnitude. So yeah, it's not like the social media team is going to go completely rogue. And every team is different in this way. But yeah, from the experience that I have of working for an internal media team, that's not something that would happen. That, you know, you just are completely doing your own thing there because you get notified before, right? So then you have to craft a plan of, okay, this is happening, so how are we going to handle this? And then that sort of in turn gets shown to people on the football side, and they're like, all right, la la la, and then it gets posted, and then we all figure things out. Or, you know, the public finds out, you know, 5 to 10 minutes before, because the information folks of the world, of ESPN, of NFL Network, etc., they drop news. And then, oh, by the way, here's the follow-up from the team, and this is actually official now because la, la, la.
And as you've explained before, it's specifically engineered by the team to leak it to one of the national insiders, either somebody who's on the league payroll or somebody who is working for a league partner as kind of a, and I don't know that you ever finished the thought and we've ever articulated it this way, but obviously it's part of this game of trading favors, right? We'll do this for you. You'll do something for us. You won't criticize us if you have a chance to do it. If we do something stupid, maybe you'll be receptive to our spin on that stupid thing that we did. But that's part of the game that gets played. And that's how you keep the pump primed is, you know, hey, we're going to announce this anyway. And it's funny. Were we talking about this yesterday? Like this whole idea of we're going to announce this thing, so we feel compelled to pick someone and tell them about it 5 minutes before. And people act like that's, oh, boy, oh, what a great scoop. They just picked the guy and told him 5 minutes before they told the rest of the world. This isn't Watergate.
That's how you're dropping it to me? That's your guy. Yes. Continue. You start talking about Watergate. No. I'm like, oh yeah, he's going somewhere with this, man. Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's kind of what happens, you know. And I've been involved in things like this, whether it's a big trade or whether it's some move that you're gonna make in terms of, you know, going up or down in the track. Like, there are things that happen where the insiders know first, you know, and they posted, and then, you know, we got told, hey, we're going to wait a couple minutes and then we'll post it ourselves. Like that, yeah, those kinds of things happen. And I don't know how much of a big deal or not big deal it is, but yeah, everybody's going to find this thing out eventually. And occasionally you hold things for yourself, and that keeps the folks on the inside that are actually on the team a little bit more satisfied, because the numbers do better when you're the one breaking the news, right? So certain things you get to break it. Maybe it's a minor player sign, a more minor player signing, something like that. But you know, the big guns, they get fed too. So that, you know, whether it's a criticism, what have you, I don't know. But yeah, those what you're saying happens. Yes.
And the reality is, and this is something Jay Glazer told me years ago, the only real journalism in sports is when we find out something they don't want us to know. Finding out something they're going to announce anyway, either 5 minutes, 5 hours, or 5 days from now, is not journalism. It's just not. It's just an extension of the PR, and it's part of the strategy, the mutual back scratching that happens. That's why I love to find out the stuff that they don't want us to know. Now, they do want us to know Justin Simmons was released yesterday. I'm looking at the official transaction report from the league. He is a former Bronco, even though he will always be a Bronco. He is not a Bronco as of yesterday. He was released, and he's able to sign with anyone. And they kind of did him a favor here. Yes. Because he gets a little bit of a head start. Not much. They could have done it at any point after the Super Bowl. That's when the window opens, that Monday after. Remember, there were a few transactions today. Mitch Trubisky, one of the ones who was released by the Steelers. For whatever reason, mm-hmm. they waited until now to do it. Maybe they didn't make a final decision. Maybe the owner had to sign off on it. Regardless, Justin Simmons gets a chance to get out there and see what's available before everyone else is officially in the pool. Although it's so close to the start of free agency, it's really negligible.
Yeah, I mean, it is, and that's kind of the issue. I mean, he is a great player, right? I mean, this is somebody that flies around on defense, makes plays in the run game, makes plays in the pass game. Honestly, I think no one may be happier to see Justin Simmons leave the Broncos than Patrick Mahomes. That dude has picked off Patrick Mahomes more than anybody else. I think it's 4 times, 5 times, something like that over the course of his career. So, yeah. Unless he goes to the Chargers or the Raiders, you know, Patrick Mahomes is going to be very happy to see Justin Simmons leave the AFC West.
This is a prime example of why and how Patrick Mahomes can pick up the phone, call Andy Reid, call Clark Hunt, call Brett Veach, get them all on a conference call. Hey, you know that contract that you gave me that grossly underpays me, that I get about a third of what I'm really worth to this team? Some of that money that you should be giving to me, go get Justin Simmons. I want him. And look, it's a tough balance because, you know, players play, coaches coach, and general managers generally manage. You have to know what your job is, but there is something to be said for understanding who the people are who bedevil you and maybe getting them on your team if you can. And I would imagine, as you said, Patrick Mahomes, first thought, this is great. Second thought, this could be even better. Maybe we get him here in Kansas City and find a way to work him into our secondary. All due respect to the guys who are already playing there. But yeah, I'd rather have him with me than against me. Okay. By the way, there were 6 total tweets from the Broncos after they announced the release of Justin Simmons, because he will always be
that's a
Bronco.
Tweets.
I guess that means Russell Wilson will always be a Bronco, too. Well, he's definitely a Bronco this year.
He's more of a Bronco than Justin Simmons is today.
Russell Wilson is going to make millions from the Denver Broncos this year, up to $39 million, fully guaranteed. They will cut him next Wednesday to avoid another $37 million becoming fully guaranteed for 2025. There are multiple reports, and it's not just the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. The Athletic has confirmed it. The Steelers and Russell Wilson have mutual interest, and they plan to meet. This is astounding to me because it goes against exactly what the same guy, Jerry Dulac, of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reported 2 weeks ago, that the Steelers aren't interested in a veteran who wants to start, that they're going forward with Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph. That's the vibe I got at the scouting combine. So lightning has struck in Pittsburgh. Something has changed. whatever the vibe was as of a week ago. And you know what? I should have known it when I retweeted the post of the odds of Russell Wilson's next team and Pittsburgh was a favorite. And I said, this is a bad bet. If you're paying attention to what's happening, this is a bad bet. Maybe it's not a bad bet. Maybe it's a good bet. They're going to meet. Oh, it's gone even farther. It's gone from minus 225 to minus 300 as the favorites for the Steelers to land Russell Wilson. But meeting with him and signing him are two different things. Maybe they're doing their due diligence to see how comfortable he would be with competing with Kenny Pickett and possibly being the number two behind Kenny Pickett. You know, it's unfair to just assume that the guy refuses to be a backup and to assume that the guy refuses to compete and to assume that his agenda will be, I only want to play in a place where you are going to promise me the starting job. Let's find out. It's unfair. And there's that draw that Mike Tomlin always has to somebody who's got a connection to Eastern Virginia. He's predisposed to guys with those backgrounds.
So true.
And Russell Wilson grew up in that area. So let's bring him in. Let's talk to him. We want volunteers, not hostages. Let's see if this stuff works on him. Let's get a feel for what he's really like. You know, I've crossed paths with him a few times over the years. You know, we've always had good conversations. He seems like, yeah, let's just bring him in and see. Doesn't hurt. It's free. It's whatever a plane ticket costs. And hell, the guy flies free on Alaska Air. We don't even have to pay for the plane ticket. Just boom, right in. So let's see. And my point is this. A lot of times when you hear that something like this is going to happen, it's a precursor to a signing. I'm still not ready to say it's a precursor to a signing, because if he wants to play and if he wants to know he's going to play, this isn't the place for him. Unless he's damn sure he's going to blow Kenny Pickett out of the water the way he blew Matt Flynn out of the water back in 2012 when he was a rookie in Seattle.
And I don't know that that's going to happen. And it's not even that Kenny Pickett's been all that impressive, but I mean, you watch Russell Wilson and there are a lot of things that have not necessarily been all that impressive from him either. But I you know, you feel like if you've got Arthur Smith as your offensive coordinator, that offense is going to be run heavy, right? And you've got different guys on that offense who can make plays, whether it's George Pickens, right? Whether it's Deontay Johnson, whether it's Pat Freiermuth or Najee Harris. I mean, like, there are dudes who are there for the Steelers. I find it interesting that Russell Wilson would try to go there. Maybe he does want to compete. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he would embrace the mentor role. Maybe he wouldn't. But I think it makes sense for both parties if there is any kind of mutual interest and the Broncos are going to let you go and meet with teams before they officially release you. Why not? I mean, what else are you doing right now? You know, I'm going to be training a little bit. But if there's somebody that says, hey, you want to come see? And like, yeah, why not? You know, let's do it. Maybe there really is a fit here where, you know, either we find out that there's a fit or there's not. And, you know, he's going to be a free agent. We know he's going to be released. But why not go and explore something where you've got one of the most stable head coaches in the entire National Football League and somebody that guys knowingly love to play for? Why not go explore that?
And a dominant defense. Gee, what happened to Russell Wilson the last time he was on a team with a dominant defense? So can we put the odds back up? Because I think this makes sense, especially if the phone isn't ringing for Russell Wilson. If he's not hearing much and there's an invitation to go meet with the team, what happens? We end up talking about Russell Wilson. We're talking about Russell Wilson now. We'd otherwise have no reason to be talking about him during today's show. We're talking about Russell Wilson because we are discussing him. The mayor was discussing you. We're talking about Russell Wilson because he's going to see the Steelers. Look at how the Vikings have crept from plus 1,000 to plus 450. They're the one to me that stands out the most because I think that's the one team that would be in position to say, you're our guy, Russ, if Kirk Cousins leaves. And so it's not crystallized yet. They're going to wait and see what happens with Kirk. But the moment that Kirk says, I'm off to Atlanta, that's when I think Russell Wilson becomes the guy who can believe when Kevin O'Connell says to him, you're my guy. Let's figure this out. Let's get to work. Let's ride. I don't know what it would be for the Vikings. Vikings Nation, let's what? I don't know. We were toying like with Steelers Nation, let's forge, I guess. I don't know. We'll find out. he's gone. Maybe it would just be go Vikings. He'll just be Skoll. He'll just go Skoll. That's easy. That's low hanging fruit if that happens. But
yeah,
I still think the Vikings in my mind are the ones to watch if Cousins leaves. We still don't know that Cousins is going to leave.
Right. Yeah. That's the big domino, you know, when it comes to the quarterbacks, you know, what does Kirk Cousins do? Because that's going to determine a lot, whether it is Justin Fields, whether it's Russell Wilson. I mean, whether it's some one of these other veterans that are going to be there in the market. The Raiders also intrigue me on there just because, like, right now, the only other option basically that they've got is Aiden O'Connell. They're going to release Jimmy Garoppolo at some point. So who knows what they're going to want to do with Antonio Pierce now there. Also Luke Getsy there as offensive coordinator. I don't know, but I mean, that's at least a spot where even if the Raiders bring in a young quarterback, that's somebody that can be a bridge guy in Russell Wilson, especially if you're paying him at a very low salary.
Hey Siri, tell me about the DraftKings promo. See, I'm messing with people again. Here's the DraftKings promo that we always do when we talk about the odds, if we can put the promo up. I don't have the copy, though. Do I have the copy here? Here's the copy. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NBA. And this season, new customers deposit $5 and get a bonus back. Bonus bet. Easy for him to say. Bonus bet back up to $1,000 if your first bet doesn't hit. Download the app and use the promo code PFTLive when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours, and please bet responsibly. We'll be back with more PFT Live right after this.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
There's Derrick Henry getting ready to become a free agent for the first time in his NFL career. He's a guy that still has gas in the tank. Oh, my God. I would not want to get in that guy's way. Not that I ever would have, but when you see him working out like that, you know why. He can run through and over anyone who gets in his way, and he still can get it done. We'll find out who he's getting it done for. The Ravens have been linked to Derrick Henry, but I would say plenty of teams would need to be interested in what he can bring to the table. All right, let's do a little free agency preview, fill in the blank style. The team who can help itself the most in free agency is who, Miles?
I'm going to say the Falcons, and we were just kind of alluding to this in the last segment, but if you look at what they can do in signing Kirk Cousins, and I know you've been reading the tea leaves on this, but look, if they sign Kirk Cousins and they've got an offense that is tailored to his skill set, which it should be, given the fact that Kevin O'Connell, right, came from the Sean McVay system, Zach Robinson, the new offensive coordinator under Raheem Morris, also just came from the Los Angeles Rams in that same system. And you've got guys like Drake London, like Bijan Robinson, like Kyle Pitts, right? We talk about those weapons all the time. And you have a quarterback that can get them the ball. I mean, why wouldn't they be the favorites in the NFC South? I mean, that is a team that can make a gigantic leap if they've got the right quarterback. So Kirk Cousins ends up going to the Falcons. That's really what the spot that I'd say they can help themselves the most.
Yeah, and, you know, again, the Vikings, through Coach Kevin O'Connell, said last week at the Combine, want to keep him, but he's earned the right to bet on himself, and he's earned the right to explore free agency, just like he did 6 years ago when he left Washington and went to Minnesota. The difference is Washington clearly didn't want to keep him. Minnesota does, and he's still maybe moving on anyway. I will say Washington, when I look at that $96 million in cap space, they traded away two of their pass rushers last year, Montez Sweat and Chase Young. And yes, they picked up a second round and a third round pick, but they need help. And Danielle Hunter is available. Speaking of Vikings who are about to hit free agency, there are options out there. The challenge becomes, how much do you spend and how quickly do you spend it? It's easy to get caught up in the idea of, oh, let's go buy this. Oh, let's go buy that. Oh, let's go buy this. But we see every year that big name, big ticket, big contract free agent doesn't really make a difference. The smart thing to do is wait, let the market calm down and go bargain shopping. But when you got $98 million in cap space, maybe you do, you know, go a little drunken sailor right out of the gates. And Washington's in a position to do it. They need to upgrade their offensive line. They could use help at pass rush. I mean, build the team from the inside out, not the outside in. And Washington's in a position to do it. All right, next one. The team that has the most to lose is who, Miles?
I'm going to go with the Chiefs here. And I mean, I could easily say the Vikings, given, you know, if you lose your starting quarterback, that's a lot. But I think if the Chiefs can't get something done with Chris Jones, right? And also if they end up trading L'Jarius Sneed, that is two really, really, really significant losses from that defensive unit. And I think it makes it very hard for them to really compete for that three-peat. I mean, yes, you still have Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. Look, how many times do we have to say, don't bet against Patrick Mahomes? Fine. I get that. But at the same time, this is the best defense that the Chiefs have had in the, let's call it, Patrick Mahomes era. And those two were arguably the best two players on that unit. So if they lose one or both of those guys in free agency, that makes the climb that much more difficult for Kansas City to win the AFC West again and then have another dominant playoff run, Mike.
I will say the Vikings here because there's a double whammy at the quarterback position. They're going to have to thread the needle. Cousins leaves, what's our plan B? They better have plan B. And see, if you're caught up in this idea, oh, we can keep him, do you have a plan B ready? That was the one question I didn't have time to get to with Kevin O'Connell last week. Along the lines of, okay, if Kirk would leave, are you skewing toward a rookie? Are you going to look for a veteran? He probably would have said, well, that's a hypothetical, he hasn't left. It's reality, though, to have a plan. And let's hope that the Vikings, for their sake, have a plan for what they're going to do. So they stand to lose the most if they get caught flat-footed when Kirk says, see you later, and they aren't ready to pivot to Baker Mayfield or Russell Wilson or, and this would be something if it happens, and they were eyeing Justin Fields 3 years ago, that may be one of the reasons why the Bears jumped from 20 to 12 to cut the line in front of the Vikings. If the Bears don't have any other viable trade partners for Justin Fields, could he end up in Minnesota? You better have a plan or you're going to end up with not a great quarterback for 2024. All right. The team I expect to make the biggest splash is who, Miles?
Let me say the Chargers, because look, you don't bring in Harbaugh, you don't bring in Ortiz to not do something to get yourself really in the thick of it in the AFC West and try to compete with the Chiefs. I mean, I could have said the Raiders here too, but just given the fact that the Chargers have already made the splash with the coach, I just expect them to do something to improve defensively, right? That's something that they've really got to do. Whatever they were doing under Brandon Staley, it wasn't working out very well. So they've got a new defensive coordinator in, new defensive system in with Minner, who came from Michigan along with Harbaugh. So whether it's some sort of weapon on offense, some sort of big-time weapon on defense, I know Minner was talking about how he's excited to work with Derwin James. I think they're going to do something to signal, hey, we're going to try to change the guard here in the AFC West.
The problem is they're one of the teams that needs to create some cap space. They're in the negative.
They do, like, but it
15,
can be done.
Million, so. Yeah, oh, it can be done easily. And that's the thing people feel like, how do the Saints do it every year? Well, they do it every year. It can be done. It's not that hard to do it. You can, especially as the cap keeps going up and up and up, it's not all that hard to create cap space. I'm going to go, and this is a hunch. This is based on reading the tea leaves, circumstantial evidence, whatever the case may be, all the different factors involved. I'm going to say the Patriots. Gerard Mayo, the new head coach, has already kind of said it, and then he tried to take it back. But when you think of this broader Shakespearean effort to take credit and lay blame, you know, it's the combination of credit for the Super Bowls and blame for the implosion and this idea that they don't spend and Robert Kraft having to explain, it's not me, it was Bill, I support him anyway, he's the one that chose not to spend. You got $78 million in cap space. You got a team that isn't all that good because Bill Belichick failed to draft and develop young talent. This is an occasion to dig deep and go out there and spend and win the day in March. We have no idea if they're going to win in September, and they don't know either. Let's go ahead and win now. Strategically, it's not a great way to build a football program over the long haul, but this is an opportunity to go out there, sign some players, win the mob. There's this, especially with the two episodes of the Dynasty dropping every week, there's this mob of New England Patriots fans that doesn't know who to really blame and who to really credit. This is a way to push the needle toward the Kraft side of the equation by spending in free agency.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, I can see the Patriots definitely being significant players. Yeah, as you said, Gerard Mayo kind of talked about it. They've also got the cap room to do it. And we know they need juice on offense. Right. I mean, you can say that about a few different teams, but they are certainly a team that needs to do something on offense in order to make this thing work, because what they've got right now, it's not there.
All right. Next topic. The first big name starting quarterback, big name slash starting quarterback. So I guess that means or starting quarterback to get signed will be who, Miles?
I think the easy answer is Kirk Cousins, but I kind of want to say Baker Mayfield, so I will. Because I think that the Buccaneers understand that they need him. And I think that if they've got to overpay him by maybe a little bit more than what they want to, just to prevent him from hitting that open market on Monday, you know, give him a reason to say, all right, I'm just going to stay here, instead of testing the waters of the market. Because if Kirk Cousins decides to depart Minnesota, right, that's obviously a place with the Minnesota Vikings that would probably want to target Mayfield. So give him a reason to not be on the market, try to get him signed in the next few days, and that could be something I think that makes a lot of sense for Tampa Bay and Baker Mayfield.
And the whole Baker Mayfield thing fascinates me because he should be signed by now if he's staying in Tampa. What's he waiting for? I think he's waiting to see if Cousins leaving Minnesota gets Minnesota into the action and pushes the Buccaneers higher than right where they currently are. You know, the number that's been kicking around is 31. Mayfield could say, look at the market, look at what I've done. Maybe I should deserve more than that. Well, when you only have one suitor, you're going to have a limit. When you've got multiple suitors, you make more. The worst case scenario for the Vikings, back to my prior point, they can end up holding the bag. They can end up being the pawn to get the Bucs to offer Mayfield more. And Mayfield may not be waiting for the Vikings to sign him, just waiting for the Vikings to show enough interest so the Bucs close the deal. And maybe what will happen is the moment that the news is reported of Kirk Cousins signing an inflated contract that we'll eventually get the real numbers on, that's when the Bucs mobilize and say, go ahead and give him what he wants before the Vikings can get in play. So I agree with you. I mean, we're close enough now to the start that Mayfield falls into the category because it's Friday. He's becoming right a free agent on Monday, unless the Bucs move now. And I think the Bucs are waiting to move until the last possible moment. We need to move, and we shall when we return. How many more years before Aaron Rodgers moves on from football? He recently dropped a little hint that will frustrate those of you out there who would like to move on from him permanently. More PFT Live right after this.
How can I be my best with my diet today, with my fluid intake? You know, just everything down to a T to try and get better. And I got back on the practice field late in the season and couldn't get to a top speed sprinting, but really been in a good place rehab-wise. From the start and feeling really good. And, you know, again, I'm hopeful I can play two or three or four more years. But you need to have some good fortune there, too.
Uh-oh. Two, three, or four more years. That's Aaron Rodgers on the Look Into It podcast with Eddie Bravo. I saw a post on X of all the other topics they got into, and apparently the full 3-hour conversation is behind a paywall. Sorry, Eddie Bravo. I ain't paying for it.
Three hours.
And I don't know that I could listen to my good friend Aaron Rodgers for 3 hours. 3 minutes can be a challenge at times based upon the topic he's addressing. Part of me really wants to do it. I have no idea what it costs. I'm not even going to look into it. I am cheap, but I also don't want to listen for 3 hours. For 3 seconds, we know that he wants to play up to 4 more years. That is not going to be easy to do. He turned 40 in December. He would turn 44 during his final season in the NFL if he plays 4 more years. I don't even know, Miles, that he's got more than 1 year left for the Jets. He said it himself on Pat McAfee's show earlier this year. We're all on the hot seat this year. If they stink this year, they won't bring him back for 2025. They'll move on. So I don't know. Does he continue the Brett Favre career path at that point and become quarterback of the Vikings? I don't know. But he needs a place. He needs a place to play. That would really test the limits of my boyhood loyalties, let me tell you. But he would need a place to play after this year if it doesn't work out with the Jets. You enjoyed that way too much.
Oh, dude. I mean, can't you see it, though? Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta. They have 1 year of some QB. And then the next year, he comes to Minnesota because the Jets aren't very good. But Aaron Rodgers still looks like he might have a little bit of juice left in the tank. Oh, my goodness. I'm now rooting for this outcome.
You know how I feel right now.
I don't know how it's going to happen, you know, but I want it.
You know, I feel like I did right before you saw me stop eating that steak. That's kind of how I feel right now. but hey, let's see. Look, Tom Brady has kind of ruined it by playing as long as he did. We'll see if this becomes a trend. Drew Brees didn't keep playing. Phillip Rivers didn't keep playing. You know, I remember when Matt Hasselbeck made it to 40, I went and did a deep dive on all the quarterbacks that actually truly played beyond 40. There have not been many. Yeah. Father Time is undefeated. And Father Time doesn't always just win with one fell swoop. Father Time starts tearing you down bit by bit and piece by piece. And here's the challenge, I think, for Aaron Rodgers. Because for Brady, he was never mobile. So when he got later in his career, he became strategically about get rid of the ball, even if it means throwing up 3 interceptions in the NFC Championship game that they somehow still won in Green Bay, get rid of the ball before I get hit. Rodgers still has the athletic ability to run away from trouble. The problem is, as he found out, you get calf problems. You get an Achilles tear. You're going to pull a hamstring. When the muscles try to do more than the old man body can do, the pieces are going to start to go. He's got to transition to, remember the year that he had the calf injury, and so he just was pocket passer guy and not any of the movement stuff? That's kind of what he's going to have to be if he wants to make it to 44.
Well, yeah, and I mean, we could maybe start to see that this year. I think that also depends on the strength of the Jets' offensive line this year, right? I mean, it wasn't very good last year, and we all know that, and that's something that Joe Douglas is definitely going to have to address over the course of the next couple of months, but I don't know, just from whatever standpoint, right? Like, when it goes, it usually goes pretty quickly. And Tom Brady is the absolute exception to that. But like you said, I mean, you brought up a bunch of different guys. Matt Ryan, another guy. When it went very quick, right? I mean, Peyton Manning dealt with a bunch of injuries. And then when it went very quickly. So we'll have to see what happens with Aaron Rodgers. It's no guarantee that anybody coming back from an Achilles tear at his age is going to be able to perform at the level we're used to seeing. So that's just one of those things where it's going to stay in my mind until we see Aaron Rodgers go out there and look like the Aaron Rodgers we're used to seeing. I mean, is he going to be that guy? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he had 4 plays last year, and he's talking about 4 years. We'll see. We'll see. It's his prerogative. If a team's willing to employ him and he's willing to play, so be it. You mentioned Peyton, though. 2015, his final year, week one, a friend of mine was in the vicinity of the area outside the locker room in Denver. And my friend said, you should see all the stuff they're doing to get Peyton Manning ready to play. And it's week one. It's not like, you know, I'm just trying to hold it together for the final few games of the season. It was week one. And it was this major undertaking to get him in position where he could go out and play. So again, Father Time, especially if you're playing a high level sport, Father Time is going to win and win and win some more. The question that came up, I think it was yesterday when we were going over Chris's quarterback rankings And we're trying to figure out how many are going to go and when. And, you know, we've seen quarterbacks get overdrafted in the past, and they might get overdrafted this year because there's a lot of teams. If you look at the top 10 of the draft, there's a lot of teams that you could say maybe they're looking at a quarterback. Top half of the draft, really.
Yeah.
The Jets, you know, is that – I mean, what do they do with that first-round pick that they didn't have to give to the Packers, right, because Rodgers didn't play 40% of the snaps? I think that was the trigger, if I recall correctly, and there is a damn good chance that I don't. They're sitting there at number 10. I mean, if they're not going to take a quarterback, one spot ahead of the Vikings and three spot ahead of the Raiders, who clearly are going to be in the market based upon current roster construction, you could trade out of that spot, but it depends on who's there. It's not going to help Aaron Rodgers. You know, it's kind of the Jordan Love thing if they take a quarterback with that 10th pick. But, what is the future for the Jets at the quarterback position? Aaron Rodgers is short-term at best, not 4 years for him. Like I said, if he's going to play 4 years, at some point it's not going to be for the Jets. You just wonder what they'll do if one of these top guys is still there. Chances are they won't be. Chances are those teams drafting after the Jets at 10, like the Raiders and the Vikings, will try to move up and get a guy so the Jets don't have that dilemma of do we take this guy or not.
The Broncos, too. I mean, they're also right in that range. I mean,
that's true. Good point.
You know, if there's anybody that is still on the board and the Jets are like, yeah, man, we could take this quarterback, we might not. I mean, those three teams that are right there behind them are going to be blowing their phone up if that's a guy that they want to target. So that's a thing that could help the Jets. I mean, even if they don't come out with a guy in the first round, it probably would behoove the Jets to take somebody that they can develop. It's obviously Zach Wilson on his way out, right? I mean, they've given him permission to seek a trade. I don't know who would want to trade for Zach Wilson, and I don't know what they would want to trade for Zach Wilson, but it's clear he's on his way out there. So they need a veteran backup, and they could stand to have a developmental guy.
It's the same answer to the Harbaugh question of who's got it better than us. That's who wants to trade for Zach Wilson. It's not going to happen. They're going to get stuck for his $5.4 million compensation package, less any offset elsewhere.
That's pretty good.
So, All right, let's take a break. Something crazy will go down at AT&T Stadium this summer, and it has nothing to do with the how about them Cowboys, but it shows where the future may be going when it comes to broadcasting NFL games. We'll discuss that next here on PFT Live. You know, not many things at this age cause me to spontaneously exclaim, oh shit, sorry London, and all points in the vicinity. But when I saw this yesterday, that Jake Paul is going to fight 57-year-old Mike Tyson. As I told a friend last night, and yes, I do have friends, I would not fight Mike Tyson unless I was 100% certain that he is dead. I would not get into the ring with him unless he had no pulse. Rigor mortis had set in. I would not mess with Mike Tyson if he had any amount of life in his body. I don't care that he's 57. Do not mess with Mike Tyson. That's at AT&T Stadium, July 20. And I actually considered, although I'm sure I won't, I actually considered I should go to this.
Really? Why?
Yeah. I don't know. It's Mike Tyson. It's Mike Tyson. And look at Mike Tyson. He's still got it. I would not mess with Mike Tyson. Anyway, it's going to be on Netflix. And Netflix now, I think, is fully at the table for future NFL negotiations. They did the quarterback series, which was very well received. They're doing the Jerry Jones docuseries for $50 million. They got the rights. The NFL always needs one or two more companies interested than packages available in order to get the companies out there to maybe pay more than they should to stay in the NFL game. So as the world reconfigures, here comes Netflix to compete with Amazon, to compete with Google, YouTube. Because, we're going to have this split between the stream and the non-stream, at least for now. I think eventually it's going to be just the technology companies have the rights and then they sublease them to the lingering networks that are out there or put them on the networks that they will own by that point. But for now, we've got networks and streamers. And they need more streamers to get more money out of the streamers. Enter Netflix. They're going to be at the table the next time these deals are up.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, Netflix has done a good job with those sports documentary series, you know, whether it's Full Swing, whether it's Drive to Survive, which I'm very into, and it's got me into F1. So, but they know how to talk about sports in general, but it's the live streaming stuff where sometimes they've had issues. You know, I thought you watched Love is Blind, Mike, but they tried to do...
They tried to do
the live reunion, and it was an absolute abject disaster. So they've not necessarily done as much of that. And that's where they've really got to show that they've made the improvements. You know, what are the live events that you can stream? This is going to be something that a lot of people are going to tune into, because I think, frankly, a lot of people would like to see Mike Tyson beat up Jake Paul. I kind of would like to see that. I think it would be very interesting. So, you know, that's going to be a real test for Netflix. Can you handle that kind of live streaming event? And if they can, then yeah, that will be able to maybe get them at the table for more things NFL.
Jake Paul is 27 with 10 professional bouts, a 9-1 record, 6 knockouts. Mike Tyson will be 58 in June. He has 50 career fights, 44 knockouts. He last fought November of 2020 against Roy Jones Jr., an exhibition that ended in a draw. But I think that this is brilliant because it ties together multiple generations, because it gets people like me to say, holy crap. Oh my gosh, Mike Tyson. Because think about it. I mean, Mike Tyson's a year younger than me. When Mike Tyson was coming up, I was in my early 20s, and he was beating the hell out of everybody. He was the real-life Clubber Lang, right? Just a few years after Rocky III. Mike Tyson was the guy who was destroying everyone, and it felt inevitable this guy's going to be the champ. And then you throw in the whole Buster Douglas thing and just all the other, like the whole entire Mike Tyson experience. He's one of the most fascinating sports figures, good, bad, and otherwise, ever. And the fact that, can we show that again quickly? The guy's 57. There's hope for us old people, Miles. Don't mess with me. Don't you mess with me, or I'll do some of this to you. Cue the mic. You never know. Look at Mike Tyson. I bet that guy that he's beating on is your age. Look at Mike Tyson. That guy doesn't know what to do. What do I do here? Yeah. Mike Tyson. Yeah, I may have to go. I may have to go to Dallas. I may have to go to Dallas and bother Shireen and go to Jerry World and see what's going on. Real quickly, right, I know it's Courtney's already crossed it out of the outline, but I'm going to say it anyway. Don Van Natta Jr., who did a lengthy, one of those 20,000-word stories that our colleagues in media say, bravo, and they don't read it, but bravo, long read. Did you read it? No, but bravo, long read. Anyway, he did that like 10 years ago, and spot the lie. He's now going to do an even longer read, a full unauthorized biography of Jerry Jones, unauthorized, which means it'll be far closer to the truth than the Netflix docuseries in which I'm sure Jerry will have final say over what does and doesn't get in. Not that Jerry seems to be all that troubled about anybody saying anything bad about him, but the unauthorized biography, that might be worth reading. The only problem with biographies, though, and I know we need to take a break, the only problem with biographies, like, I really don't need to know how the person's grandparents met. I don't need a full chapter, right, on that. And it's amazing. And I understand the whole, it's got to be complete and it's got to be definitive. And there are traces of let's just get to the person's story. I don't need to know about the grandparents. I can never get going. It's like this long, tedious background, almost as tedious as me making this point. I struggle with biographies. Do you?
I see that. Biographies, I've tried to start reading American Prometheus, but I love memoirs. I like to get into the mindset of what people are and how they got to be who they are.
Oh, and you know what? Like Bruce Springsteen, I read that and it's really long and he wrote it and it's awesome. I like to know, especially when it's actors and musicians, I love to know the story about how they got to be where they are. When did the talent flash? What were the moves you made? What did you do to push against whatever it was in your life that was telling you you're wasting your life, you're stupid, you shouldn't do this? How did you manifest your creativity within the confines of an otherwise normal world? Like all that stuff, I love that. I love hearing that story because there's always an awakening at some point where they first realize, you know what, there may be something here that I can work with. All right, we need to take a break. Speaking of actors, the Oscars are this weekend, if you didn't know, and we had nothing else to do by way of draft, so we have an Oscars-inspired draft that we will do next here on PFT Live. My goal is to pollute your brain with as many Seinfeld references and clips as possible that you will have over the accumulation of your life, seen the entire series, even though you never watched a single episode. There's one particular episode of Seinfeld where both Kramer and
again
Jerry
with the Seinfeld.
Try their...
You know that there are plenty of shows right. that I watch. Like, you could reference one that I actually watch, and then it would be funny. Like, when I reference
know it
The
bothers
Sopranos.
You.
I thought you were a bacala, man. What are you doing eating sushi?
Oh, that was great. All right.
It's the 25th anniversary of that episode airing this week. So that was well
wow.
done, Control Room.
Wow.
That's brilliant.
Very well done. The Oscars of this the Oscars of this weekend.
Oh, God.
You know, I need to have that available to tweet. I need to have that as a gift that I can put on Twitter from time to time. That really is great. All right. Enough. Okay. I've completely lost any semblance of ability to transition. Movies we would watch, and this was my idea. There were probably better ideas suggested, but my idea, and I'm looking down at my phone. It's transcribing everything I say right now. Movies we watch once a year. Movies we watch once a year. And before we do that, we have a trivia question to determine the first pick. Not that there's going to be any overlap between Miles and me as it relates to movies we watch once a year. Ben-Hur, 1959, Miles, is one of three movies to win 11 Oscars. Name the other two. And both have been released during the time that you have been alive.
Okay, I saw the question. I did not look at the answer. But I think that one is Titanic, and I think the other is a Lord of the Rings movie. But I mean, I'm not confident on that.
Wait, no. Which Lord of the Rings movie? There were three of them. Which one?
Is it Return of the King? That's the last one.
Yeah, okay.
I'll say that.
You got it.
Let's go.
You got the first pick. You got the first pick in a draft that I guarantee you we will have none of the same answers, although we might.
I got both of those right. Let's go, dude. That's awesome.
You got both of them right.
Yeah.
Well done.
My mom should be proud of me. She's a big movie buff. Let's go. All right. First, I'm so excited I got that. I'm totally derailed. The first movie that I usually watch every year at some point, Star Wars Episode 5. Best Star Wars there is. I love that movie. It is a perfect
movie. Empire Strikes Back.
Yes, Empire Strikes Back. Yes, that is the proper title, but it is Episode 5. I mean, I watch it every year because, A, it's on at on TNT at some point during the year, but also now we got another streaming service that you will not see this show on, and so I won't name it. It's there, and I can watch it whenever I want, and I really enjoy that movie, so that is one that I will sit down and watch it at some point every year.
All right, the first pick for me, and again, there is no way this is on your list, and I don't feel compelled to watch Back to the Future once a year. You would think that would be on my list, but it's not. And I love Christopher Nolan. I like the complexity. I like the fact that as soon as you finish watching it, you have this draw, this magnet to watch it again. I felt that way all week with Oppenheimer. My son and I watched it Tuesday night down in the barn. I want to watch it again because I feel like there were little subtleties that you don't appreciate, that you'll notice the second time around. His movie from 2006 with Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale, The Prestige, is possibly my all-time favorite movie. And when I watched that the first time, and I won't, even though it's been longer than The Sopranos, Tony got shot, the twist at the end is magnificent. And I immediately watched it again after I watched it the first time. I stayed up and watched it again. That's how riveting it is, and I'll probably watch it this weekend while I'm working. It's two wow. rival magicians, and it's worth it. It's worth it. If you've never seen it, have you seen it?
I've not seen it, so I'm kind of glad you didn't spoil
it's worth
it there.
It.
Okay. I might get shot.
He's sitting. One of the magicians shoots the other while he's eating onion rings at a booth in New Jersey. All right, go ahead.
I see what you did there. All right, next movie, and I don't necessarily watch this every year because I'm not the biggest movie person, but I'll watch it a lot, and it's Wolf of Wall Street. I just, my God, I love that movie. Leo DiCaprio is magnificent in it. It is one of my favorite all-time movies, and I love the way they tell the story. And does it glorify some things that maybe should not be glorified? Yes, but I think the storytelling is terrific. I think the acting's terrific. And yeah, it's one of my favorites. I watch it all the time.
That's Scorsese, right? Is that a Scorsese?
It is.
Martin Scorsese?
It sure is.
Did he do that?
Yep.
All right. Well, let's stay in the Scorsese aisle because Goodfellas. How can that not be? Like, that's more than once a year.
It is.
We're in Vegas the weekend of the Super Bowl, and I'm flipping the channels around, and there's Goodfellas, and wherever it is, it's really not the same when it's on AMC and they sanitize the language. It's laughable the way they sanitize the language, but yeah, Goodfellas, anywhere, anytime, any place, let's watch it. It gets a little weird after he gets out of prison and it goes into the whole drug thing and he's got the black helicopters. Like, the last half hour, it's kind of a slog, but it's worth it. It's worth it. That's one that probably twice a year I'll watch. All right, we got one more each. We'll do that next here on PFT Live. All right, wrapping up the week with a little fun here. The Oscars are on Sunday night. The movies we watch at least once per year, those are our picks so far. Miles, what else do you have?
All right, I'm going to break the rules because this really isn't a movie, but it's a TV show. And I'm going to combine two things and make it into like a feature length thing. So yeah. I know we got limited time. But two things I always watch every Christmas: the Christmas episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And then there's a Christmas episode as well of The Sopranos, where, you know, the little kid goes up to Bobby Bacala. He's like, F you, Santa. And everybody's like, whoa. I love those two Christmas episodes. And to me, that is an essential thing that you got to watch every year.
You know, you've reminded me, because I had another pick, but Bad Santa. That's the holiday tradition that I think that I have infected you and your mother with. That doesn't sound right. But Bad Santa. Bad Santa. Bad Santa. Which kind of is keeping with the whole Bad Santa theme. But also, I have a new entry on the list. I love Tarantino movies. I had never seen Jackie Brown. Jackie Brown is awesome. It's so awesome. Yes. I am reading the book that inspired it, Rum Punch by Elmore Leonard. And that is awesome as well. So watch Jackie Brown this weekend. Enjoy the time. Off. Miles. That's it. We're done. Goodbye.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.